I begin my response to Connor McKinnon's "To Her" at the end of the poem. Last line and a half of the poem read like this: "You go on and on, enthroned amid a sea of fire and glass." This called to mind, of course, John's revelation that we have in Revelation chapter 4, when he looks and beholds the heavens. A door opens before him to heaven. He looks through this door and he sees the throne of God. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. So in John's deeply figurative language, we have this throne of God's sitting on a sea of fire and glass. And the 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind they symbolize the omniscience of exalted beings, that they can see, or that the sea of glass and fire is, as Joseph Smith commented in 1843, that it's like a Urim and Thummim, that they are able to see things that have to do with lesser kingdoms. Talking about the habitation of angels, he says, "They reside in the presence of God on a globe like a sea of glass and fire, where all things for their glory are manifest, past, present, and future, and are continually before the Lord." The place where God resides is a great Urim and Thummim. This earth in its sanctified and immortal state will be made like unto crystal, and will be a Urim and Thummim to the inhabitants to who dwell thereon. So this is the exalted place, the throne of God, surrounded with this symbolic language, which as I read it, is just the best approximation that we have in our language, in our conceptualizing of the world. It's the best way that we have to approximate the things that the throne of God actually is, the sea of fire and glass. Now, Connor concludes his poem with this to show how this exalted woman, to show where she sits, this enthroned amid a sea of fire and glass, that she's up there. But before this, he's explored in very beautiful language, in more metaphors of who this exalted woman is, of who the Eternal Mother is, and how she interacts with the world. Because, yes, she sits enthroned amid a sea of fire and glass. At this extremely beautiful place, but she is deeply connected to the world in which we live. The world that Connor says, or the poet says, the speaker of the poem says, "I sometimes attempt to escape these days in the rasp of autumn winds unraveling in my head like old neglected violins. In my grief I can travel between worlds." So between these worlds, between this place that's dying like old neglected violins, this place that's unraveling around him, and the place where exalted beings reside. And so he continues through this with some, again, very beautiful language. I love this line: "As with rain cupped in the dying hands of leaves, the sunset alchemically coalesces into rose gold champagne in the pools of my eyes." So his imagination is spinning around his experience in the world, as a poet's imagination does. Now, Brigham Young said that Joseph Smith was a seer, or was a seer poet, a poet, and that a poet sees differently. So in one sense, Connor he's tying into this poetic imagination to understand the relationship between him and his mother in heaven, because the poem obviously is directed toward her. To her, it says, "I want to escape. I want to be with you." This world, it simultaneously torments and it exalts. I'm caught between these two places. And I'm looking to you beyond some abstract ideal, beyond some metaphor or some outrageously proportioned fertility symbol. I'm looking to you beyond just some abstract ideal, beyond just being some metaphor, beyond just being some fertility symbol, beyond some object that man has created on the earth. And to reach to the real woman, he says in the middle of the poem here, "You are as tangible as I, passing with me beneath the boughs of trees, your breath, the susurrations of the leaves, as something inside you speaks to something within me in a language that exfoliates. It cleans me. Your words, they clean me. Your language, your breath, it reaches out to me. This is a repeated symbol, representation that comes, that has come in many of these Mother in Heaven poems, that of her breath reaching out to us in the world, the wind as her breath, in a language that we don't maybe understand fully, but that we need to seek to, that she is in the world around us, that enthroned amid her sea of fire and glass, she is looking down, and she is not just sitting there distanced from us, but that she is participating in this world, that she is fully present in it with us. Because in my reading of John's vision, the sea of fire and glass, of Joseph Smith's interpretation, again, these are just the closest approximations we have to the matter that surrounds the throne of God. That perhaps purified matter, purified worlds, exalted worlds, they're not crystal, but they're like unto crystal, in a sense that they reflect, they refract, they capture, they mirror light. And they shed it forth, so it looks like fire, and it's in all of its glory, and that it's closely bound up in the cosmos around it. That through this sea of fire and glass, that these exalted beings are able to participate in the world, to see it as it is. Because, as Connor continues in the poem, he says, in the liminal space between night and daybreak, in the shadows, which again is another metaphor used often to express the presence of the Mother in Heaven. Yet in the liminal space between night and daybreak, the long grass clings to your thighs as you dance, blanketing the ground beneath your feet with its glistening hair, while the dew that collects on its strands hardens into stars that confess that you go on and on, enthroned amid a sea of fire and glass. So here he bridges these worlds. He brings them together. He shows us that maybe the throne of God, maybe the presence of God is not so distant from us, that the Father and the Mother, they are in the dew, that we can see them in these seas of fire and glass, that the beads of dew could be our Urim and Thummim to connect with the Mother, to connect with the Father, to feel their presence in our lives, and to help us be fully present in the world.